I know a lot of us live daily with grief and regret, things that we've done in our past that have affected our life now, things that we have done in our past we know will continue to affect our life in the future. In the 70 or so years that we live, we will probably look back many times and ask ourselves, why in the world did I do that? Especially when it affects our families, our children, for some, our grandchildren. It is truly something that really almost kills the soul when we just live with this regret. But we only have to do that for about 70 or so years. Imagine the grief and regret of Adam. I want to read something before I read out of Genesis. I want to read something to you in Psalms 31:10. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. When we simply sit and just think about all of our failures, we become very weak. It's almost a hopeless feeling. And as I said a while ago, we only have to do this for about 70 years, some maybe 100. I think of Miss Jagger's and the living to 103 months, and such a sweet, sweet, precious lady. She could get fired up. She could get fired up, but oh, I love her and I miss her. But you know, she told me, she said, Brother Tom, I just wish God would go ahead and take me home. And she started saying that when she was 98 years old. The body becomes more painful. The mind becomes less clear. But I just don't think we ever forget about those regrets. Poor Adam. You talking about living with regret. Think about this. Everything God made, he said, was good, including Adam. And on the seventh day, God rested. Now, when we say God rested, does that mean God took a nap? No. What it meant was everything that God had to accomplish had been accomplished. It was done. And then Adam. Then Adam introduced sin to the world. And because of sin, because he introduced it, then the next generation, his children, understood what sin was. They were born with a sin nature. Adam truly had grief and regret. Listen to what it says here in Genesis 5, 1 through 6. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. God did this. This was his handiwork. This was his perfection. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. But we don't know exactly the year that Adam fell. We know that he was driven out of the garden. And we know that from there we find Adam and Eve having two sons, Cain and Abel. The sin that Adam introduced into the world became even greater in the life of his son Cain. And Cain committed murder. We're only four chapters into the Bible at this point. We've gone from the perfection that God created to murder. Don't you know that when Adam heard the news of what Cain had done, he had to begin to feel the grief and regret of the choice to disobey God. A lot of us say, well, you know what? We're really good people. We're really good people. We're not good people. I'm a pastor of a church. I have beautiful people in this church, wonderful people in this church, people of God, people who love the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. This preacher is still dealing with sin. I am not a good person, but I am saved by grace. And that grace is changing me and drawing me closer to who God wants me to be. But I still have grief and regret. Poor Adam, to watch him go from having everything just right, talking with God, walking with God, to being banned from the garden, being banned from the presence that he felt continually with God, to then watching his sin nature passed on to Cain, and from Cain to murder. So much regret had to be in his life. And it wasn't there for just 70 years. He had hundreds of years of living with the shame of being the one that introduced sin into the world and into his family. But you know, God is a good God. And God honored his relationship with Adam. And he gave him Seth. And from Seth, we have the line that leads to Noah. Think about it. Adam's sin. Then you have possibly thousands of those upon the earth. And then we come to the flood. And we'll talk about the flood a little bit more later. But we come to that place of the flood. Out of all of Adam's children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, so on and so forth, only 8 people were saved. Why? Because Adam sinned. You and I have to understand, we have to look at the true impact, the true weight of our sin. When we willfully sin in front of our children, when we willfully sin in front of others, it carries a great weight, a burdensome weight with us and with our family. Think about it for a moment in the New Testament, if we can move forward. And then about 4,000 years later, we find Jesus. He's upon the earth and he has been rejected by the Jews. They have sent him to die upon a cross. Now he has raised from the dead and he has ascended to the Father, and we find Peter preaching in Acts. And Peter's preaching to the very Jews who had Jesus killed, who you know they had to be living with regret once they began to recognize and realize what they had done. The grief and regret had to be great within their heart. But listen to what Peter says to them. Yet now, brethren, this is Acts 3, verse 17 through 21. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In other words, you didn't recognize who the Christ was, but now he's risen. There's evidence of who he is. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Peter was saying to those who had to be living with such grief and regret, we have killed the Son of God. We have killed the Savior of the world. And Peter is saying to them, listen, you don't have to stay in this regret. This grief does not have to overtake you. Repent that God may once again send his Son to save you. He didn't have to die on a cross again, but what he would do is he would rule and reign within the hearts of these men and their families if they would just confess their sin before God. He didn't tell them you can be a better person. He didn't tell them that they needed to start going to church. What he said to them was very clear. Repent. Repent. You and I have also failed. We have caused great grief with our failures. We have caused heartache. Maybe our children don't respect us anymore because of the sin that we have committed. Maybe the people that we were once a witness to no longer look at us in the same light. So what do we do? Do we continue in regret? Do we continue in grief? No. Let me share something with you. In John 5:16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Why would I want to confess my sin to one another? Well, because if I've wronged someone, I need to go back and make it right. If I have not set the proper example, I need to go back and confess that. If I refuse to confess it, if I continue in my sin, or if I ignore the fact that I have harmed someone because of my sin, then my witness is lost. And regret and grief become a normal thing in my life. I don't want that. I want to make right the things I need to make right in my life with those whom I've hurt. And when I confess that, I'm then not only made right with my brother, but I'm made right with God. Adam lived for many years with regret to the point that he saw his family slipping away. The Bible describes to us that once Seth had children, when he finally had a son, that's when men began to call on the name of the Lord. So there was a point where people literally had turned away. That means that his children and grandchildren had turned their back upon the truth of what their father and grandfather had told them. And we wonder why today nobody believes the Bible. It's because the church is the largest hypocrite upon the entire earth. We say one thing and we live something totally different. And then we ask the world to come in and be changed. And the world's like, why would I come in to be changed when you are all like me when you're not inside the walls of the church? We need to be God-fearing people 7 days a week. So whoever we've wronged, whatever we've done, we need to make it right. Because we need to be restored back to God fully so that we can be a witness to a lost and dying world. I don't want to live 70 or 80 years with regret. I don't want to live 70 or 80 years with grief. I want to be set free by being made right with my fellow man. If I've wronged you, I'm sorry. I want what is right and good. And I want what you need more than anything, and that is Jesus Christ. So I ask for forgiveness of anyone that I've offended, anyone who I've harmed. And I want you to know that I will confess to you today, I am human. And I'm in desperate need of Jesus Christ every single day. Saved, but in need of daily renewal. Let's pray.